You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. It is a joy to be here, to be back. I was in Kansas City, well, technically Unity Village, which is a literal township in Missouri, but it's close to Kansas City, Missouri, and I just got back in yesterday, and I've been doing a fair amount of traveling over the last couple of years, and so I'm well attuned to the spiritual practices and the realities of travel a lot. And it's wonderful to go back to Unity Village, but it's also wonderful to be home. And in between times, there's an airplane trip, right? Actually, usually multiple airplane trips because no one flies direct to Kansas City. So every time I get on a plane, I'm reminded of a very important spiritual principle and practice. And that is, during the safety spiel, that what are you supposed to do if, in the event of an emergency, the oxygen masks are deployed? Put yours on first before you assist anyone else. Everyone feel the spiritual truth of that? It's a great one. It's almost worth the flight to remember. When you are doing anything, before you think you're going to go help others, make sure you are grounded first. You have your own oxygen supply securely fastened to your face. And then, from that presence, from that connection, feel free to assist others. And so as we begin our exploration of the integral models and maps, that's an important thing to remember, that what we are doing it in service to. As we show up in the world, we're looking at how we can show up in a holistic, integrated way. And then be the light unto the world, be a benefit unto all of humanity. Go out into the world with gift-bestowing hands. But it starts first with being clear, grounded, present, with a holistic view. So as we begin our service today, let us fasten our own oxygen masks by beginning with prayer. And so I invite you to take a deep breath. Oh, and release it. Truly that breath of spirit moving in and through, and as each one of us, and oh Holy Spirit, essence of all that is, we open to that power and the presence of the living Christ, that living, awakened energy that is moving in and through and as all of manifestation. So bring our fullness of self, every dimension of being, through our conscious participation and awareness, into this space, into our very presence, as we open to the direction and the movement of the Holy Spirit, inspiring and informing all that we see, all that we do, and all of the ways that we show up. And so it is. Amen. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complex eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to idle and be blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day long. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last? And too soon? Tell me, what is your plan to do with your one and precious, wild and precious life? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That is a poem by Mary Oliver called The Summer Day. And I love it because there's so much symbolism in there. It talks to these exalted states of feeling at one and truly present with what is arising, what is happening. Do you know how to pray? I know how to be present. What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? It's a guiding question, isn't it? And we have more life to have it, to answer that question more than ever. The statistics say that most of us, the average age that we will live to is 82 now. And if you are 65 or older, good news, you have at least another 20 years, whether you're a man or a woman. So you'll actually go beyond that 82 threshold. And then the statistics also say that we can expect in the coming years that we will actually live into our hundreds, which of course retirement people are plastering all over billboards, right? Are you preparing for your retirement? Are you preparing to live longer? Well, from a spiritual aspect, I would ask you the same thing. Are you preparing to live longer? For those of you who have a general outlook, I'm hoping it's not many of you, of pessimism and of fear, keep coming because we'll work on that. But I would ask you, is that really how you want to live your one wild and precious life for the next however many years into, 100 years? Because the trajectory is many of us will live that long. So what we're doing in this integral theory and an exploration of some of the integral maps is giving us some of the tools and the models, the guideposts, to help us answer some fundamental questions of how we are blocking ourselves from being completely open and present, so that when we step into life, it is from an integrated whole, or as whole as we have access to and capacity to, place. Because just, if you can picture what we would have seen if we lived 100 years or 200, years ago through now, we would have seen tremendous change. And you can project, for those of us who especially are younger, what we will see, for those of you who have been around for a while, you've seen tremendous change. What is the change that is on the horizon? And what consciousness do we really want it grounded in? These are part of the sub-questions when we start looking at how do you plan to live your one wild and precious life that start to inform how do we really want to show up? And what are some areas that we might want to look at where we might be blind to? And that's the beauty of some of this, the maps and models that we've been looking at and will continue to look at today. It is the beauty of knowing where might some of my blind spots be. Because one way or another, we have them. And we know we have them when we get feedback that we have them. Or we know we're in pain, and it can show up in a variety of forms, and divine discontent. That's my favorite. I love to be aware of divine discontent, because that means something is wanting to be birthed. And just as Mary Jean shared, and several of you have shared, that you hear me a lot talk about being pulled by a vision instead of being pushed by pain, divine discontent is one of those flares that go up from our soul, from God, from the universe, that says, pay attention. Something is happening. It can be a dis-ease, literally a disease, or a dis-ease, or some kind of uncomfortable suffering or yearning of your heart. And if we don't pay attention to the divine discontent, if there's really something that we need to look at, it just gets escalated. So it's really, I always like to follow the path of least resistance first, if at all possible, and pay attention. And these maps and models help us pay attention. They help us live a very skillful life. So we're going to be looking today at one of the fundamental building blocks. So this is, I brought this in last week. I'm going to be highlighting, last week we highlighted states of consciousness and a little bit of stages, that stages are earned. We do our work, we do we show up, fully every day, and we meditate, we do our spiritual study, we serve, we are in devotion, we participate in the practice of giving, of really knowing that it is all God's and there's a circulation and a flow to that. And we show up in service. Those are what develop these stages of consciousness, these developmental plateaus or places where we can really dive in and see how we're showing up in the world, our center of gravity. States are where we just kind of We move, they're transitory. And we can have really exalted states and we can have really, depressing states. But we're moving all the time in those. Today we're going to look at another part of this map. It is the part in the upper right-hand side. And what we call, this is the four quadrants or four dimensions of being. So this is the one where it is arising all the time. Whenever we show up right here, right now, in any decision that we make, in any situation that we're in, any kind of family system, work environment, country, world, these four dimensions of being are nested in each other and are arising all the time. The question becomes how conscious of each of those four, these four quadrants, each four of these dimensions of being, are we aware of? And oftentimes we are aware of one or two primarily, and we are forgetting the others, which can turn into painful reminders in our life if we are not paying attention to them, because they are always embedded in every moment. So we're going to look at these four dimensions a little more closely, because I can guarantee you probably are focusing on one or two more than the others. And I'm going to illuminate, especially on the spiritual path, how that can show up. So I want you to really, you know, picture either a situation or perhaps your own spiritual journey in your mind as we go through these, because these are all nested within each other. And when we focus on one at the exclusion of the others, we are over-preferencing and we're creating blind spots to the rest of what is naturally arising. At the same time, I will also say this is very intuitive. You'll notice, you'll go, oh yeah, well of course, I just don't think about that, but of course that's what's happening. So it will be probably an illumination of what is already present and that you're already aware of. So there's four quadrants, and I know there's a lot of maps that have four quadrants. I apologize, there's nothing to do with it. It's just other than it's a really good, you know, easy model to start with. So we once again visit our four quadrants, and in this case, it's the four quadrants for integral. So it's broken into to some sections that I want to illuminate. The first one is the individual. So up on the top, the upper two are about you as a person. So you as Charlotte, you as Carolyn, you as Anna Maria, individuals. And then on the bottom is the collective. Charlotte, Carolyn, Anna Maria, and all of us are in this collective space. That's a pretty easy one to grasp, right? We've got our individual and we've got our collective. And you can have rings of collective energy. So you can have your family unit is a collective. Your greater family, your extended family is a collective. Your city, people that are involved in your city are a collective. You can go all the way out to the universe, really. So there's this collective energy as well as an individual energy. On the left-hand side is our interior. So this is what we can experience and feel. We can tap into intuitively. This is nothing quantifiable. This is all about your own internal experience or an internal experience that no one else has access to. This is the interior. The exterior is what you can see in the outside world. So I can feel that I have $30 in my bank account, but that really doesn't help me. I have to actually look at what is in my bank account to know. Can you get the difference? In the same way, the exterior cannot quantifiably say what love looks like. You feel, you have an experience of love in your interior, in your inner experience. You can demonstrate it in the outside. This is a quantifiable exterior demonstration of what might be happening inside you. So you got it? Interior, inside, only you have access. Exterior demonstrations, quantifiable. So how do these show up? Because these are all happening simultaneously right now, as well as in every aspect of your life. So when we start to put these together, you've got an interior individual. That's your thoughts, your feelings, your intentions, your psychological makeup, your soul patterns, your Enneagram type, all of the things that make you you, that you're aware of. This is where your practice of meditation comes in, a lot of your inner work journaling. Those are all mining the fields of what is happening inside me, which is very important. What often happens is that a lot of spiritual practice falls into this category. A lot of spiritual systems even fall into this category. It is really important to have this be a very prevalent part of your practice, but it is not the only part. And that's one of the gifts that integral theory really offers, and that we as Unity of Tustin have really wanted to embrace as well, is that you're looking at what's happening inside of you alone is partial, but it is not complete. There is more to the picture. There is more to meditating on your own individually or doing your work individually. There are three other places that are also arising. And the more you over-focus on one, the more pain and suffering can get created and blind spots can get created in other areas of your life that show up as pain. So then down below, the interior collective, what does that look like? That looks like our relationships. That looks like our culture, our shared values and meaning. What does it mean as a community to be at Unity of Tustin? What are our values, our collective values? This is also the place that we have been as a community, and then some of our community members have really been diving deep into the we mysticism. This is where we're actually beginning to mine the fields of what is really present in the collective and giving it a voice. Just like we've gotten really good about mining, okay, what am I aware of now? What is present in my awareness now? There is a similar, and this is why it's so new, there is a similar charting now to what is in the collective. Because there is, for all of the individual interior work, there is an equal individual collective work that can be done. And that can come into more conscious awareness. This is also, down in this lower left, where spiritual principle shows up. Spiritual principle is not an individual experience. It is a truth. So when we talk about the spiritual principle of tithing, or the spiritual principle that we are all God expressing, or the spiritual principle of the law of mind action, what you hold in your consciousness produces in the world. Those are all spiritual laws that fall into down in here. You with me? So these are all arising simultaneously. So then the next one that I want to look at is this exterior individual. So we had these values, these what's happening in my mind and my body and what am I aware of? And now we jump over to how is that showing up in the world? And this is where some of us can get into a little trouble, because we have these illuminating, amazing cosmic experiences in our meditation. And then we show up to work. And others might not experience that same level of amazing, revelatory, cosmic oneness with the universe in our actions, in our thoughts, or in our expressions of those, and how we show up. So in the exterior individual, this is our literal, our physical body, our behaviors, what is quantifiable or quantitatively measurable, what you can see and what you can validate. So this is where compassionate, loving, spirit-grounding feedback from people becomes really important. Because if there's something that you're operating under the reality that you are showing up 100% authentic and open all the time, and you are not getting that feedback, then there is a disconnect between the interior and the exterior. This is where a lot of blind spots can show up. This is where therapy becomes really important, your shadow work. Service is really helpful here, because you can start to see, how are you actually showing up? How is your interior reflected in your exterior? So it's really important. It's really helpful. And can you see how if you're over-preferencing what's happening in your inner space and not how it's showing up in the outer, that can create some blind spots. So it's really helpful to start to notice that. Oh, am I over-preferencing my own inner experience at the expense of checking out how I'm showing up? So in the last piece, this last quadrant down at the bottom, this collective exterior, is a really cool one because it captures the collective values, the collective consciousness in a quantifiable form. And that shows up in our policies, our systems, our social structures, our literal environment. I walked into someone's office once and it was so cute. He was a business owner. It was a friend of mine. And he was saying, you know, we're always just running around. We're always just one step ahead. And I looked and I said, okay, do you also realize that your physical space is complete chaos? I mean, there's just like stuff everywhere. And he went, oh, I haven't even noticed that. So again, if we over-focus on one or two areas, there's evidence showing up in all of these of what might be going on if we have the eyes to see and the capacity to ask, to look. So when we start looking at our social structures in a church environment, this is our bylaws. In a civic structure, these are our laws. If you have in a corporation or even here, we have a mission and vision statement, and we have core values. Are they written? Are they identified? Can you see them? Because this is the expression of them. And the less they're written down and codified, the more open to interpretation, the more they can be emergent at the expense of really reflecting what our true values are. So there's a lot nested into all of these. And this is the one, this bottom right, where it can be the most challenging, but also the most solid when it's actually in place. The challenge is because you're dealing with the collective, now you have all of these individual interior thoughts, emotions, feelings, and perceptions about what should be expressed in the outer, aka our political system and any kind of leadership capacity. When you have to synthesize, or you get the great privilege of synthesizing a whole confluence of different disparate ideas into what are we actually wanting to show up? How are we wanting to show up? Again, it can be the most grounding and really important aspect of what we do. And these are your religious rules too that show up down here. How do we, as Unity, how do we as Buddhists, how do we as any of these religious organizations, how do we agree to show up? So you get that? There's all of these four dimensions of being arising simultaneously. So I'm going to skip over how they show up in the extreme because that will be for another day. So I want to go through an experiment. I want to go through an exercise to really show how in one simple, very small, trivial in some ways, aspect, these four quadrants are showing up, and depending on what you're working with, can be to your detriment to not pay attention, and also can be up to your great presence and capacity to really pay attention to all of these. So we're going to buy a car. Everyone excited to buy a car? When we look at this individual interior, when you think of buying a car, what do you think, feel, or value about that? Quality. So there's a value of quality.
Reliability.
Safety. feed, cost. So you're wondering about the cost.
Comfort.
Sustainability. Hold that thought, because that can be an individual one, and that will show up in another place too.
Will people be impressed?
Thank you. We go there. Thank you for presencing it. Will people be impressed? Is this a symbol of my status? So all of those are happening in our inside. All of these feelings, these thoughts, these emotions. The next one that we're going to look at is, what is the collective interior? How can I take the greatest amount of people into consideration at the deepest levels? What are the collective values that I might want to be aware of when I'm buying a car? Who will be riding with me? Which, plays into the individual question of safety, but now there's a greater who else who I need to pay attention to? The environmental impact. What are the values that we as a collective hold around the environment? The people who made it and their jobs, do we buy American or not? The maintenance of it, how will it get maintained?
Will the salesman make a fair
profit? So this idea of sustainable, job creation, but also in the relationship aspect, right? Of, do we have a share like Saturn? I think they're out of business now, but their whole value was around, creating a good customer experience and no haggling, and this is just the price. And that was a set of collective values that they were tapping into. So the next one is, what is the creative action that I can take regarding? What are the action steps that we need to do to move from thinking, feeling, and valuing to literally doing something in the exterior when we talk about buying a car?
Research,
consumer reports.
Test drive.
Thank you. You have to work on your finances, right? You have to see, what can I afford? You can feel like you want a Maserati. But when you go to the bank and they say, I think your budget's a little lower. That's some good feedback, right? Because this will get us in trouble when we over-preference an individual exterior and we get a Mercedes-Benz. And then a couple months later, we look at our bank account and go, maybe that wasn't the most informed decision I could make. It helps. This is about illuminating some of where our blind spots might be. So then the final piece is, what does the collective exterior look like? What are some of the systems or laws that might influence our purchase of a car? Whether or not you did get the loan, whether the bank is in agreement with you that you can pay for that. What else? Some of the places that you might is it easy to, if you do get an electric car, is it easy to plug it in? How easy does our collective make it? What about if you get tax credits? So again, our values getting expressed into codified law. Does it influence you if you get a tax break or you get to go in the HOV lane? Because you have that special sticker. So these are the collective exterior. Sometimes that will make a difference and sometimes it won't. But to not know about it, to not pay attention to it, there's something missing. There's a piece of reality that we're not paying attention to. So as we look at this, this is one example of how to start to pay attention to these four dimensions of being. Whoops.
Whoops.
and what is arising in every moment. So that as you start to build, because again, you know, there you can do a really clear kind of analysis like we just did with buying a car, but you can also do a very quick, am I paying attention to what's happening inside my values, how those are showing up in my actions? What are the collective, societal, or perhaps, you know, group values of your family or our country? And how are those getting supported by some of the laws or some of the things that you might need to pay attention to? Like, we would never consider purchasing a car without safety belts at this point, right? It's a law. It would be a foolish purchase to purchase a car without a safety belt. So all of these things get nested in that as we start to pay attention to, depending especially on what's happening, we can be more informed. Integral is about being comprehensive and integrated and aware of the whole. So that as we start to live longer and live our one wild and precious life, it's from a place that is grounded in awareness of the whole, awareness of and awareness from that capacity that is not blinded by just what's happening inside of me or not just what's happening in the collective, but that is informed by all of it. What's happening internally, what's expressing externally. It's a whole new awareness point to sit with. So that as you start to rest into what is your plan for your one wild and precious life, there's a capacity to answer from the depths and the wholeness of being.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.